What's up, my friend? It's ADHD Powerful Possibilities. I'm your friend and host, ADHD Coach Catherine. This week, we're looking at the impact of pregnancy and childbirth on women with ADHD. And then we're going to offer some supportive practical ideas that you can take away. I'm going to apologize again in advance for my continued croaky throat. It is virus city. It's not a great time to be recording a podcast, let's be honest. But you know, this is important stuff and I want to share it with you. I will edit out as many of the coughs and throat clearings and squeaks as I possibly can. Bear with me if some of them make it through into the final recording. And thank you again to everyone for your support, especially over the last couple of weeks, looking at the impact of ADHD on women and girls. After looking last week at how ADHD might affect our path through work and school and education, I thought, what's the next big stage in your life? And what I've noticed with clients is that the stages we reach tend to increase the challenges on our executive functions. And we reach a point sooner or later where we just can't do it, when the executive functions are so overloaded that we have a meltdown. I found that pregnancy and childbirth were the real crunch points for me. Education was tough and education was not always fun, especially at university, but the impact of pregnancy and childbirth was off the scale for my brain. And if I had known then what I know now, things would have been very different for the first few years of my parenting journey. I want to make sure you have that information, or you can share that information with other people who are going to go through it and who have the chance to experience things differently. Let's acknowledge there is an inequality in childbirth, specifically for women of colour, who are much more likely to experience medical problems during pregnancy and after childbirth, and also that there's an inequality globally in terms of access to healthcare and support. That being said, there's another inequality, which is the difference in maternity leave or parental leave after childbirth. I know many of my friends in the States have told me it's officially 2 weeks postpartum, which frankly is shocking. How does that affect ADHD? We will come to that, folks, but I just wanted to head up at the start of the episode that we cannot have this conversation without acknowledging that inequality and the impact it has on maternal mortality. One of the first things to say is that pregnancy is not an easy ride for 90% of women. Whether that is the change in your hormones, you may normally not experience much of a difference in your monthly cycle. You may, if you have ADHD, be somebody who experiences significant changes in hormones, particularly PMDD. And you might think, well, pregnancy is going to be great. I will not have that monthly cycle. True, but you might have something else to deal with. And that's because estrogen and progesterone reach new high levels during pregnancy. And they're not just important for helping your body to grow a baby, which, let's face it, is amazing. They're really important in your brain function and your mood regulation. Often, if you have ADHD, a higher level of estrogen will mean that you've got more dopamine and more serotonin. It's one of the reasons why most of my clients are women in perimenopause and menopause, because the estrogen's going away, it's taking the dopamine and serotonin, they're leaving the party, and we're just being left with all the cans and the crisp bags and things to pick up at the end. It's not fun. But during pregnancy, your estrogen level becomes very, very high, so you will have more dopamine and more serotonin regularly for those 9 months. The problem is that progesterone can be very difficult for some of us, and although it's meant to keep you calm and it can improve things like sleep, for some people it can also create a low mood, and depression during pregnancy is more common in the ADHD population, in the neurodivergent population. And one of the things that I found during pregnancy was not only did I have daily migraines with auras, not only did I have a daily nosebleed after about 4 months, but I also found that my mood was very fragile and it was incredibly stressful. Baby was fine, relationship was fine, everything was great, but my mood really took a beating. So don't worry that something is wrong if your mood is going up and down during pregnancy. That is normal. But bear in mind with ADHD brains, we might be more sensitive to the fluctuation in hormones during pregnancy. Also, as pregnancy progresses, sleeping becomes more difficult. Physically, mentally, you're anticipating the birth. Lots of people worry about the birth, and physically it's harder to sleep, right? You may be too hot, you may be too cold, it's hard to get comfortable, your joints are all nice and loose, which is perfect for delivering a baby through your pelvis, but it does mean that your back and your hips can become very painful. So physical pain can stop you sleeping, and as we know, sleep affects ADHD significantly. The other thing we don't talk about so much is the impact on emotional dysregulation. ADHD executive functions, one of them is emotional regulation. If we're pregnant, that is going to be much harder, not just because of the physical difference in our brain, but now the hormones are coming into play. So it's more common to experience mood swings, anxiety, to feel weepy, and even experience episodes of depression, as I mentioned before. And if you are feeling depressed during pregnancy, don't worry that you have to keep it to yourself. Please tell your doctor, your midwife, if you've got one, and let them know that this is affecting you, because it does put you at more risk for depression after the birth. Assuming that you are supported in a loving family or relationship, let them know that you are experiencing a low mood. Don't keep it to yourself, whether you're pregnant or afterwards. So think about the positives and the negatives of pregnancy for people with ADHD, for women. The most important one is that we can experience more clarity with the extra estrogen in our brains. It could be something you've waited for a long time. It could be a time of great hope, great possibility. So use pregnancy as a time to practice giving yourself compassion, giving yourself permission to create new possible ideas and stories and routines. And if you can, try to start a mindfulness practice that works for you. I've said before, I do think that being in the present is incredibly powerful and very useful, especially during pregnancy when we quite often run ahead and think of all the things that are going to go wrong or bad things are going to be. Practice being in the present and not having any expectation about the past or the future. And when you're pregnant, especially for the first time, you spend a lot of time thinking about the birth. If you've had a negative experience of birth, you may be very anxious about that if this is your second or third child. So it's normal to be preoccupied with the idea of what happens when you give birth. I can only speak to my personal experience in this. I used a program called HypnoBabies, which I will include a link to in the show notes. And I don't know if it was just my type of brain or the fact that I practiced it diligently because I was so determined to do well at having a textbook birth. But I practiced it every day and I had exactly the birth that I wanted with an extra intervention at the end, which isn't a big deal. I had a 12-hour labour with no painkillers. I didn't need any. It was incredibly powerful. It was really empowering and my baby was healthy. So for me, HypnoBabies made pregnancy manageable, but it also made childbirth something that I wasn't scared about because I understood the physiological process so much better. So obviously, within the context of your personal experience and always keeping safety of parent and baby, mother and child at the top of our list of what's important, you could experiment and think about what would a good birth be like for me. So let's not worry about birth more than we have to. Instead, let's think about what happens after birth, because after birth is when the real fun begins. Now, if your birth has gone well and you're back at home and you're safe and sound, it's still going to be completely different because now your entire day is focused on this tiny helpless human being who has only one way of communicating with you, and that is quite loud. On top of that, there will be many women who have experienced complications in birth, and they may be recovering from serious surgery, or they may have stitches which are uncomfortable. So we have the physical impact of birth, as well as the emotional one of being responsible for this tiny, tiny human. Then add in the massive drop in estrogen and progesterone, which is frankly a bit shocking. And it is very, very normal for you to feel completely overwhelmed, exhausted, tired, weepy, what they used to call the baby blues. And there's a difference between that, which is the product of a drop in our hormone levels, and postnatal or postpartum depression. And it's really important that you have a few people around you who know you well from before pregnancy, who you trust and who have got your back when you're going through this first couple of weeks as those hormone levels even out, bearing in mind what we suspect, which is the sensitivity of the ADHD or neurodivergent brain to changing hormone levels. On the plus side, we have a massive surge in oxytocin, which is that wonderful warm bonding chemical. And it can help us to regulate our emotions. And some people are more sensitive to them than others. So you may feel that the oxytocin is kind of balancing things out a little bit. It's not all negative, obviously. And hey, you've got this incredible human being who you are going to know for the rest of their lives. But bearing in mind that research shows women with ADHD are 40% more likely to experience postpartum depression, you need to keep an eye out for those symptoms and have a plan in place. First of all, you can monitor your own mood. And I think it would be really, really strange if we didn't experience a massive shift in how we feel, given that we've suddenly become parents and we may have very difficult or mixed ideas about what that means for our work, for our family, for our love life, for our future. So anticipate that your mood is going to be variable, but also keep in mind that there has to be a level at which you get support if you go down and you stay down. And if your ADHD becomes almost unbearable, and let's face it, it would, because you've now got less estrogen and a huge, huge demand on your executive functions, you may need to start your medication earlier. You might want to switch to a non-stimulant type of medication, especially if you're breastfeeding, because it's more important that your baby has a healthy, happy, functioning parent than you struggling and becoming depressed with breastfeeding. Now, I know, having done a lot of research because it's me, that breastfeeding is the most miraculous thing for babies. I also know from personal bitter experience or how difficult it can be. I persisted probably way beyond what I should have done, but it did work in the end. I went to the La Leche League. I had a lot of support from my partner, from my family, but it was hard going. I think with hindsight, I might have chosen something different if I had known what the impact would be on me of not being able to sleep, not being able to feed, the problems that it caused for all of us. But that's my personal choice, and nobody else has the right to tell you how to feed your baby. Yes, breastfeeding is incredible, but if it's hard and you have had support and you've had lactation consultant support and it's still difficult, please focus on being the most cared for, most happy, most fulfilled person you can be, because that's what your baby needs. They don't need a doormat. They don't need somebody who's so exhausted and worn out and who's so miserable about how their body is or is not performing. Because we know with ADHD, we ruminate. We are the Olympian champions of rumination. And I can tell you that that path is not one you want to go down. And of course, we need to talk about sleep. After childbirth, sleep is going to be affected. There are some people who can sleep while their partner takes care of the baby. And that is, of course, easier if they're able to feed. And if you're expressing your milk, they can do it with that, or you can offer a feed. You can combine them. But one of the reasons babies don't sleep so much with their mums is because they can smell the food. So if you have somebody who can help at night time, it's worth it. I'll be honest, If I had unlimited wealth, I would employ a night nanny, because I know that if I don't get enough sleep, oh my goodness, and over time, that really affects your brain, your mood, your cognition, your focus, because you have ADHD. Bear in mind, when I experienced pregnancy and childbirth, I did not know why it was so difficult for me. Now, with all my training and my information, I'm like, well, goodness, of course you were going to find it really challenging. And I would say I would do it again in a heartbeat, because the human who emerged from that pregnancy and who I have the joy of living with made it all worthwhile, even when I'm up at 3 a.m. because she's vomiting. But think about how sleep is going to affect your ADHD as well as your mood. And ADHD and mood cannot be separated at this point. Can you share duties with your partner? Can you get somebody in to help overnight? Somebody that you trust from your family? Somebody who's going to stay awake? Or do you want to try and sleep during the day when the baby sleeps? There is this theory that you can do that. It didn't work for me, but if you can, that's another option. Think about how you're going to bulk up your sleep as much as you can. One of the ways you can think about making this passageway from one type of life to another is to build a network of support. I found typical mother and baby groups very difficult because I don't really do small talk. Or if I do, it's in a way that neurotypical people find a bit confusing. And when I have met other mothers that I get on with, turns out they're also neurodivergent. If you're finding these kind of mum and baby groups or pregnancy groups difficult, don't feel bad about it. It's just that being pregnant on its own or being a parent on your own isn't always enough for us to be able to fit comfortably socially into these networks. Thankfully now, 16, 17 years later, there are more ADHD friendly or neurodivergent friendly groups, if not online, then maybe in your local area. And I will, of course, include links to any of them that I can find below. If you run one of these groups or you would like to set up one of these groups, let me know. I would be delighted to help with doing that for you. And remember, this is new. And although we tend to think people with ADHD get bored very quickly, we actually quite like things to be the same and to be predictable up to a point, because there's safety. Right? There's safety in things being the same. And now that you're a mother, now that you have this tiny human in your house, everything's different. But you will get used to it. And it might be worth exploring how can you process that change. I ended up going to art therapy. I had postnatal depression. I didn't recognise it as such for 6 months. It was very difficult. And when I finally got help, I went to an art therapy group provided by a local charity, which was the best thing I've ever done. It worked for me because it took the pressure off producing a perfect picture, a perfect painting, and it just allowed me to process what I was feeling inside. So if you're needing that kind of support, have a look around and see if there are different kinds of therapy that you might be able to access. You might want to do something like a practical activity. I find art therapy good, but there are also groups who do therapeutic gardening or therapeutic walking, where you have the space to process your feelings while you're doing something, because that does make it easier sometimes. And as time goes on, don't forget, you're going to be amazed and amused by this small person. I remember being amazed when I started to get Weeded Baby signing, when she started to do sign language back, and I suddenly realised this incredible small person was going to be my companion for the next few years, and I would get to see them learn all this stuff. And as someone who's the top one or two of my strengths is love of learning, that was brilliant. So I get to watch and enjoy them learning at the same time. And let's think about what your life as a new parent, especially a new mother, because let's be honest, women still do most of the work with tiny babies, is going to look like, and how that's going to affect your ADHD. We've spoken a lot about executive functions, planning, organising, time awareness, managing all these thoughts, the working memory, the emotional regulation. As you can imagine, that is intensified when you are also doing it for somebody else. And the first thing that I found, and that I hope you find, is that nobody's happy unless you're happy. So early on, recognize that maybe the models you saw growing up aren't going to work for you. You're going to have to do things your own way, but you can figure it out. I 100% believe we can all figure it out with enough support. And once you've emerged from the first awe of the 6 to 8 weeks after baby's arrived and come home, the main things you're going to find that you have to manage are things like planning food, laundry, appointments, meetings, so that time piece. You're also going to have all this extra stuff. And babies come with an incredible amount of stuff if you let them. So the household organisation is also going to be increasingly demanding. And then there's going to be the question around, how do we parent? Do we allow the baby to cry themselves to sleep? And the data suggests that's not great for their brains, but that's your choice. Or are we kind of co-regulating, very bonded parents? Are we picking them up? Are we making sure that they're, you know, this attachment style of parenting? So that's the executive function piece. And we are going to look at time management in a few episodes. I think it's maybe kind of May we're looking at time and time management. But think about what is essential, because there's going to be 100 things that you could do. But what is the essential thing to do right now? Don't worry about anything else. Babies are joyous. They live entirely in the moment. What can we learn from them? And if you've got somebody else around to help you, what can they take on? Partners, parents, this is your chance to step up. Don't forget, your working memory is going to be impacted by the estrogen disappearing. So make the most use of visual supports. Whiteboards, chalkboards, calendars, reminders on your phone, reminders on your wrist from your watch. Lean into that scaffolding as much as you can, because that takes the pressure off your working memory. And although we might not feel like we like routines, there are studies that show ADHD parents experience less stress if they have a highly structured routine. So what kind of routine works for you? Obviously, begin with the foundations. When do we get up? When do we go to bed? How are we going to be providing meals? Are there ways that you can access prepared meals so that you're spending less time doing that, and that maybe somebody else offers to take that task on in the household? When you're thinking about all the extra stuff that the baby comes with, use ADHD friendly strategies. This is very personal, but there are two almost competing things happening in ADHD household organisation. One is, if we can't see it, it doesn't exist, or we forget about it. I have 3 copies of one book. But the other side of that is, visual clutter not only drains your energy, but it stimulates your stress and your agitation. There are very few people who don't feel calmer in a decluttered, calm environment. So my favourite tip, and I use this, doesn't matter what age you are, have what you need at the point that you need it. That might mean that you have scissors at each point where you need a pair of scissors, and have them in a box. And they don't leave that spot, because you don't need to take them somewhere else and put them down on the way. They are where you need them. And that's the one thing that I would recommend. Everything else is up for grabs. Work out what your personal balance is between, I need to be able to see things, but I also need no clutter. My favourite is curtains in front of wardrobes. I know where things are, but I'm not overwhelmed by the clutter and the visual noise. And the other thing to think about is, in parenting, ideally, if you are sharing parenting with somebody else, you've had this discussion before baby arrives, be aware you might need to be flexible to meet your child's needs. I had a wonderful lactation consultant, she's very famous in the local area, called Carla Napier, and she said there are 2 kinds of babies. There are fireball babies and potato babies. I had a fireball. Personally, I'm more of a potato, so you can imagine how that went. It was quite a shock to the system. But if you have a fireball, trying to force them into a routine that suits a different kind of baby is going to create stress for both of you. So how can you meet the needs of the baby while also making sure that you meet the next things we're going to talk about, which are looking after yourself? And that's a game, that's a dance, it's something that's going to develop as they go through different stages, but try to allow some flexibility into your approach to parenting. Whatever your ideas were before baby arrived, they're going to change. Most importantly, communication between you and your partner, if there's one around, and your baby. Keep it open, keep it consistent, keep it calm, and focus on co-regulation. If you start co-regulating with your baby early, things are going to be much easier when you get into the toddler years. Finally, think about maintaining your self-care, your personal well-being. When people say self-care, they tend to think about bubble bath or candles and meditation, journaling. For some people with ADHD, it might mean making sure you have time to go for a walk every day or that you can go back to the gym or go swimming. Exercise is so important for us, and it's something that I neglected in the first couple of years. Don't do that. Don't make the mistake I did. And make sure that you're making time. This isn't a vanity thing. Exercise can be as powerful as medication for people with ADHD in the short term, you know, just after you've done it for a few hours. If you're not able to take medication for a while, make sure that you've got time for exercise, because it's great for your brain as well as it being good for your body. And you can take baby out with you if you want, or have someone watch them and have that time to yourself. It's not being selfish. As I said before, if you're not well and you're not happy, baby's not going to be happy. And we know that there's a constellation of genes that are involved with ADHD. The idea is that some changes in the environment sometimes trigger the impact of ADHD to be felt. And it's why I often think people with really difficult, challenging, traumatic, stressful environments can experience ADHD so much more intensely. And it is so much more disabling. Don't forget, 25% of the prison population meets the diagnostic threshold for ADHD. So you are protecting your child's well-being in the future by looking after yourself and being able to take care of yourself with exercise, managing your sleep, making sure you're keeping in touch with friends as far as possible, making new friends maybe, and of course, getting in touch with people who can support you. There might be a local group, and when I say local, I mean in your area or online, that is ideal for you. Not just as a new parent, but as somebody who has their own interests. Remember that your interest-based brain needs to have that stimulation. And I have made a long list, and I have made a list of organisations and support groups in the show notes, and I will include them in the blog in due course, that you can contact before and after you become a parent. Well, this has been quite a direct episode, and I've maybe shared a bit more of my own personal story here. I hope it was useful than usual. I do want you to remember, being a parent can be the most powerful, exciting, interesting stage in your life. You do not have to do it the way other people do it. Take what is useful and leave the rest. Learn about things like declarative language. Learn about co-regulation. Personally, I would include baby sign language because it was fantastic for us, but that's a personal thing. But if you're able to co-regulate, model self-regulation and good care for yourself in front of your baby, you're going to have so much fun with this wee human being. I can guarantee they will amaze you, and you will amaze yourself. Because when you become a parent, that's your opportunity to become a new, amazing person. It's your opportunity to reach new levels of insight into how you work, what you need, how the world works, and share that with somebody else. And don't forget, think about your character strengths. Do your VIA character strengths test. Have it printed out so you don't need to try and remember it off the cuff. And think about that when you're parenting. Use them every day as well. But most of all, remember to be compassionate. Thank you again for joining me this week on ADHD Powerful Possibilities. Next week, we are going through perimenopause and menopause. Yes, I know I have spoken about this before, but there are some different pieces of information I would like to share. I will include a link to the previous one down below in the show notes as well. I cannot wait to be with you again next week. Please share this episode if it's useful for you or for anybody in your family and your friend network. And remember, think about what's possible and take care of yourself.